Yeah.
You happen to remember, Betty, on the sheets that you gave out on Brophet.
Yeah.
When you were talking about... There's no Kemach in this.
Oh, I'm just trying to look for a place to spread out here without knocking over anything.
Oh, okay. Are we making it more difficult for you? We thought we'd make
No. I just had one little... Oh. I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
I see.
One little pinah that I was afraid would knock
over. You brought down the Yahrzeit chair from the Rav.
Yes. On what topic again?
On
Dov Hashem V'Kedusha?
Yadav Yadav.
The Yahrzeit, yeah.
Okay. The last thing on the page says, and it's a chiddush, and that's the end of the thing there. And then we don't know. You have another two paragraphs that are on from the Yahrzeit shir, but it doesn't flow. The words don't flow directly from there. I'm suspecting though that it is the right thing, because in one of those paragraphs it talks about when you get to Ritzei, that Ritzei converts it into a korban.
Right.
And because Yalav Yavo is in the bracha of Ritzei, so maybe that makes it a korban, and that's why you have to repeat. Why?
Why
do you have to repeat if you miss Yalav Yavo?
That's going to be the second half of that article. I don't know if
that was the second half of that article, wasn't it?
No, I'm saying I gave you like the Rav's presentation of why is it that we have to repeat if we leave out Yalav Yavo.
Right.
What I didn't give you was the next half of the article where the Rav presents a thesis.
Oh, so where is that? You didn't give it to us.
Yeah, because it wasn't that relevant to my shir, but I can get it for you if you like. You don't have the shir?
I have the shir.
If you have it, you'll find it. I mean, if not...
No, my only question was...
Keep in mind, I try to use... You know, I do photocopying, but a lot of the people I find, after I give out a page... They don't even take it, you know. Right. So, first of all, I never know how many people are copying. Right. I don't have the time to put into all the photocopying. Sometimes you have to cut and you have to paste. So, in the case of the Yahrzeit shir, I just wanted the chevra to be aware of the problem. You know, out Yalav Yavo, is machzirin also.
Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't know because
at some point down the line, we can go through the. I mean, it's pages and pages. The Rav has a major chiddush about what you know. What's the nature of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? What's the nature of Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh? He puts it into a whole other context.
You know? Okay, I'll have to look it up. Then.
So look it up, and if you have any trouble finding it, I'll bring it in next week.
How much trouble are you going to have finding it? Is that be safer?
The truth is, I got so involved with the Siman Kufches in Or Chaim, with this the Mechaber and the Taz and the Bishnaburis and the Shartzians, I got so fakrocht in that. I could probably spend another 10 hours on that.
Yeah, it's...
Forget about the Rav's Yahrzeit. She's just getting through the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, that's right. It's tough.
Fascinating. So
it's
many different scenarios.
Quicksand syndrome. Yeah. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink.
Right. Quicksand. Okay.
What I want to
show you is the following. Okay, we're on Daf Mem Amid Beis in Masechta Shabbos. Okay, then? And we'll get back to Chulin, if you want to open to Chulin, it's Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. And we're going to try to compare the two sugyas and see what we can get out of it. Okay, then?
I'm sorry, what was the Daf?
So it's Daf Mem Amid Beis.
And Kuf Dalet.
And we'll get up to Chulin in just a minute.
Kuf Dalet is Amid Aleph or Amid Beis also?
Amid Beis also.
Okay.
So here on Daf Mem Amid Beis, we're looking for a Gemara in the wider lines that quotes Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdili, and I have my finger on it. I don't know if that helps you at all. Omer Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdili. Pam achas nichnasti. Acha Rebbe lebeis hamerchatz. You know that they used to go to the Chamei Tveri on Shabbos,
right.
And there's a whole sugi about Chamei Tveri, status is. And Rebbe told Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi the following: Bikashti laniach lo pach shel shemen ba'ambati. I wanted to take a jug of oil
in with him, right?
And put it into the ambati to heat it up. Because hot oil is very good for, you know, for a massage. Okay. The Omar Lee and Rebbe responded to me, Tol Biklisheni. Meaning, don't take the Pach Shemen and put it directly into the Chamei Tveria. That would be a Kli Rishon.
Right.
But rather, take water out of the Chamei Tveria when it's still boiling hot, and then dip your shemen into the water.
So
Shema Mina Tlas. The Gemara says that we derive three conclusions halach lemaisa from this story.
Okay.
Number one, Shema Mina Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishul. In other words, there is a process, but usually you understand Bishul as taking something that's not edible and making it edible. Here, even the shemen itself is functional. Okay, so that has to be taken under advisement.
It's not going to be used for food.
Right. But what we're interested in for today is the second Shema Mina. Shema Mina, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel, meaning what did Rebbe gain by telling Rabbi Yitzchak to take the water out of the chamitveria and then putting the pak shemen into the water in the second kli? After all, the water in that kli is boiling hot, and you could probably achieve the same goal of cooking whatever cooking in shemen is that you would achieve in the chamitveria in a kli rishon. You could achieve it in a kli sheni. The answer is we have a new principle here called kli sheni. Eino mevashel. So I take a second here to see. Okay, so he has a whole footnote here, but we don't have time for that right now. I mean, again, maybe we do, but I didn't see it. Now, the third Shema Mina, which is not relevant to us today, we'll just mention it, is that hefshero zeu bishulo, meaning that when we put the shemen into a kli rishon, and that's considered a place where it's royal libishul, and that itself would accomplish bishul. But what we want to focus our attention on is Tosus Divra Maschil Ushma Mina. Tosus says, Tema. What do you mean klisheni is not mevashel? Now I'm going to formulate Tosus with a mimon of shach. He doesn't actually say mimon of shach. He says the following, Maishna klisheni mi kli rishon. If the case of the kli sheni is that the water is absolutely boiling, is afilu kli sheni nami? Why should kli sheni be any different than kli rishon? Is then afilu kli rishon nami ena mevashel? Meaning the key of keys to define bishul is the heat of the water. And therefore, what difference does it make whether it's a kli rishon or kli sheni? If it's got the heat that you need, called yad sol letes bo, then even a kli sheni should be mevashel. If it doesn't have the heat, then even if we're in a kli rishon, why is the Gemara formulating a shma mina, the kli sheni, eino mevashel? Is there some sort of an absolute gzeres hakosif? If so, then maybe you should be quoting a pasuk. Let's just read the answer so we get just to get the perspective here. V'yesh lomar l'fi shekli rishon mitosha amad al ha'or. Since the kli rishon itself sat on the fire directly, dof nosav, the walls of the kli chamin. Now, you're not only talking about the heat of the, let's call it the liquid in the pot, you're also talking about the walls of the pot. Umachzik chomos man meruba. And the heat is going to be maintained for a long period of time because of the dofne akli, or the kosle akli. Lekach, Nosnu bo shir, the kol zman sheyad sol letes bo asa. Why? Because it's going to continue even after it's taken off the fire, or let's say shut off the fire, for a long period of time to be yad sol letes bo. So the yad sol letes bo status is not just for a moment, a fleeting moment. It's really going to be extended over the course of some time. Again, all this would be dependent upon various variables. You know, for example, how much water was heated up, how long was the pot on the fire, and what's the pot made of. You know, the many different variables. But certainly, as a general principle, the kli rishon has heated up, and it will continue to heat up. Aval kli sheni, afal gav, even though the water in the kli sheni is yad sol letes bo, mutter, why? She'ein dof nosav chamin v'holech u'miskarer. Because everything depends upon the dofne ha'kli. Keep in mind that this kli itself was never on the fire. Now, you pour water into the kli, and the kli has yad sol letes bo inside of it. But what kind of process is going to go on as we move forward? Is the dofnos hakli, are they adding heat? or on and maintaining the heat, or on the contrary, the Dofne HaKli are playing the opposite role, Holech u'miskarer. So basically, Rav Ossai, the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni, according to Tosus, and once again, we may see all the Shitas, but let's just give Tosus the first
temperature.
Is the question of the Dofne HaKli. Everything really boils down to the Dofne HaKli. Are the Dofne HaKli heating up the Kli, or on the contrary, they're cooling off what's in the Kli?
Right.
The truth is, what confuses my mind, even before we start this sugya, is I don't know what Tosus would say about the middle case, you know, the middle ground. Meaning, is Tosus saying that Kli Rishon is Mavasha? We have Yad Tzol Vespo, but that condition is met. Right, you can check off that condition in both a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. So as far as that's concerned, all things are equal. So we have Yad Tzol Vespo. Is Tosus saying now that what defines a Kli Rishon is that the Dofnei HaKli are so hot that they're machzikos es hachom? Or is Tosus saying the opposite, that what defines a Kli Sheni is that the Dofnei HaKli are mekaros es hachom? Meaning, what happens if you found kind of like a middle state where the Dofnei HaKli are, I don't know, they're not Yad Tzol Vespo, but they are a certain level of heat, and they're not cooling off that which is inside of it, the liquid that's heating. On the other hand, we don't have the positive feature of being machzik es hachom, that we don't have. Does Tosus go this direction, say we need to have Dofnei HaKli machzikos hachom in order to create a Kli Rishon, or is Tosus just saying that anything is a Kli Rishon unless it becomes a Kli Sheni, and that means it's makaros es hachom? You see the word miskare, holichu miskare. So that I don't know.
I don't understand. It seems to me that Tosus is basically asking, if neither it's Yad Tzol Vespo, it's not Yad Tzol Vespo.
Right, that was Tosus' question.
The Kli Sheni result in less than the Yad Tzol Vespo, then it is a Ruftu. If it doesn't result in that, it doesn't.
Right, and the same thing can apply to Kli Rishon. Yeah, why
right,
do you call one thing a Kli Rishon?
Right, exactly.
Kli Sheni. So Tosus is trying to get a grasp on this fundamental distinction between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni, and he says it all depends on the Dofnei HaKli. In other words, forget about Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. Rewrite the text, says the Tosus. There's no Gzeres HaKosuv Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. It's simply a matter of what is going to go on in the very near future as we move forward with the food or the liquid that's in the Kli. If what's going on is that there's something there that is holding on to the heat because you have a metal substance that surrounds the food, you know, the Kedera itself, and the walls of the metal walls of the Kedera are hot, that's called the Kli Rishon. If you have a Kli Sheni, what you have is Yad Tzol Vespo. And you and I would have said, well, okay, Yad Tzol Vespo, wonderful. Put something in there, it's gonna boil. It's gonna, you know, I promise you, put a raw egg in there, it's gonna boil. It's Yad Tzol Vespo.
Yes.
Name. Says Tosus, I don't care about Yad Tzol Vespo. I want to know what's going on down the line. How is this arrow moving? What's the process? If we're in a process where the Dofnei HaKli are cold, because the Kli Sheni was never in, you know, in on the fire, then the Dofnei HaKli makaros means that basically what you're seeing now is a process that's going to be reversed.
So it's not the relationship to the fire, but simply that it had the fire and whether the heat is going out or coming in.
Right. Oh, is it on its way up, or at right. least maintaining it, or is it on its way down?
But
again, all the emphasis here, according to Tosus, is on the Dofnei HaKli.
Right.
And this is going to lead us to the whole issue. I don't want to give the whole the cat out of the bag, because I first want to see a sugya in Chulin. And that is, what happens in a Kli Sheni when you don't have Dofnei HaKli makaros? And that's the gigantic sugya called Dover Gush, meaning, what if I have a boiling hot substance that is solid, and I place it down in a Kli Sheni? The Kli Sheni has no impact on this Dover Gush. Because again, if you're matching a liquid and the liquid is being contained and surrounded by the Dofnei HaKli, if the Dofnei HaKli are cold, then you've got yourself a Kalta Kli, right? And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be Makaros. But what about a Dover Gush? And this is going to be the famous Chumrah of the Marashal, if you heard of the Marashal, the Chochmah Shlomo. But before we do that, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, which I always do. I'm always guilty of that. I want to just show you the Gemara in Masechta Chulin, and that's on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. And when we look at this Gemara, we really get a slightly different impression than the impression you get from Tosfos. You may recall that the Rabbanon instituted a gzera called Halalah. It's not the only gzera that they instituted with regard to Basar B'Chalav, but we don't want Basar B'Chalav on the same table. Right. And the Gemara is bothered by that, because even if in the worst case scenario he'll eat them together, but there was never a Bishul, and if there's no Bishul Derech Bishul Asur Tov, there's no Basar B'Chalav. See, you're telling me that we make a gzera to what? To Basar B'Chalav? There won't be Basar B'Chalav. Everything's cold. So the Gemara says, Omar Abaye, right? We've seen this Gemara on many occasions. It's about 10 lines down from the top. Gzera Shema Yale Be'ilfis Roseach. Now, what's going to happen is he's going to bring out food in an ilfas. This ilfas, this kind of pan. You know, today if you go to certain restaurants, you can still see it. They bring out so I don't know if this will mean anything to you, a poo-poo platter. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where it's mamish hot.
Yeah.
The more fancy restaurants have a little fire underneath it. That's already my drink.
Yeah, those poo-poo platters.
And but the Gemara says, so what are you afraid? You're afraid that now he's going to mix the milk and the meat in that ilfus, and therefore there'll be a bishul. The Gemara says, name, this ilfus is sov klishenihu. Uklisheni einam avashal. Ella says the Gemara, gzera shemiyala beilfus rishon. In other words, maybe there'll be a kli rishon here. Now, let's try to think this out. According to Tosfos, there really is no difference between a kli rishon and a klisheni. If there's yadso lettuce bow, even a klisheni could be a kli rishon. The problem is, what's with the dofne hakdera? The Gemara itself seems to make a clear-cut, how shall I say, absolute distinction between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. In fact, some of the Mefarshim tell us that the Kli Sheni and the Kli Rishon here that we're talking about is already off the fire, meaning we turned off the fire, or we took the pot and the sizzling pan off the fire. So now what we should really be discussing is what is the status, what is the situation with regard to the Dofne, Akli? Are the Dofne Akli being Makaros? Or Mechamamos, or Machzikas Achon? Is that how Tosfos is going to learn this Gemara?
Is Mechamamos, if the Dofne Akli are Mechamamos,
right,
why doesn't that just make it a new Kli Rishon?
That's basically what Tosfos holds, but I didn't see it in the Gemara. The Gemara gives me a different impression. The Gemara gives the impression is whether or not it's really a Kli Rishon or not. First of all, the Gemara thinks that an Ilfus is a Kli Sheni. Then the Gemara says, nah, he's going to put it into a Kli Rishon.
And if a Kli Rishon it sits around long enough where it cools down, does it become a Kli Sheni?
I don't know. According to Tosfos, I think the answer is yes. At some point, if the dofne akli will cool off, it should be a cliche. Because Tosfos says that yisodas of kli rishon is that dofne akli is hot.
Yeah, it's either adding or not, or subtracting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, you know, the question here is, what constitutes a kli rishon, what constitutes a klisheni? He has a footnote here. He says, Kli Rishon Nikra Kli Shehis Bashel Bo Atavshil Al Ha'esh Afil Yachar Shahurad Min Ha'esh Aval In Heiriku, they poured out the Tavshil Mikli Zel Kli Acher Nikra Kli Sheni Beshuv Eino Mevashel.
In other words, they poured it out and then poured it back in again.
Right. Now, Rabosai, I'll tell you what bothers me tremendously here. We spoke at great length, if you recall, about kavush. Now, if you take meat and soak it in milk for 24 hours, it becomes awesome. Even though there's no bishul, everything's cold. So that's a strange riddle to solve. Why should kavush be a problem? Again, if it was nevela, let's say you took a piece of nevela and you soaked it in rotev or whatever it might be for 24 hours, nicha. I understand. Because through Kavush there's a Pleta and there's a Blia and the Tam of the Easter, and the Veil goes into the Heter and so forth and so on. That's called Kavush. But in the case of Basa B'Cholov, where the Torah the precondition for Basa B'Cholov is Bishul, Kavush is not Bishul. You know, if I on Shabbos I take a piece of meat and throw it into milk, I don't violate Shabbos as a Melechus Bishul.
And you say
so the answer might be that maybe the whole thing is the Rabbanon,
yeah,
correct?
Exactly.
And the whole Kavush Kivuvushal is all the Rabbanon, not on the Bishul Doraisa, but on the Pleita and Blia.
Right.
So then my question to you is as follows. The Gemara says here that if the Bishul of Basar and Chol took place in a Klisheni, that's not a problem. Well, I don't know that it's not a problem. Tosfos says you can have Yad Sol lettuce, but even in a Klisheni. So even if I grant you that it's not Bishul, it shouldn't be any worse than Kavush. I mean, compare these two cases in your mind. If I take meat and I soak it in milk for 24 hours, it's awesome. Albeit the Rabbanan. Maybe even Dorais. I mean, there's a Rash Bashik that's Dorais, but I'm saying, let's say I'm going to most Rishonim, it's the Rabbanan, because it's not called Bishul. The Rashba seems to elevate Kavush into the status of Bishul.
Wild.
And you have to know what Nafkavidus would be in Shabbos, into the Shabbos. But be that as it may, at least it's awesome in Rabbanon. That you can't deny me. Now, I'm taking meat and milk and putting them into a klisheni. Mm-hmm. And the heat level in the liquid, whether it's the cholov or the rotev bas, or whatever, it doesn't matter one way or the other, is yad solezvo. And we're saying that's okay. That's not what we're worried about. That's mutter.
Because it's not, according to Texas, you mean because of the Dfanos.
Because of the Dfanos. The Dfanos are cooling it off. But you got to admit that there's some sort of blia.
At some point.
At some point.
Enough.
Meaning, if you ask me to compare the blia of a cliché to the blia of Kavush, in my humble opinion, and that's what I'm bothered by, I would say there's a lot more blia in a cliché, which is Yatzo lettuce bowl. It's 112 degrees Fahrenheit, than a blia in a Kavush. So I don't have a grasp on this. So what I want to do is look this up in Shulchan Aruch. If you have the Shulchan Aruch here,
yeah,
it's in Simon Tzadi Dalid. And you may recall that in Hilchas Blia of Bas V'Cholov and other Yisroel, we have two categories. We have a category where you need Shishim against the whole Yisroel, and then we say that there's another category where it doesn't generate an Yisroel for the whole thing and only requires Kedei Klipa. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Now, Kedei Klipa is a serious business. I don't want to be mezalzel in it, but it means there's what's called a miktas blia, partial blia. Now, the case here inside. Do you have a Shulchan Aruch?
Yeah, but I have to get the other volume. It's not.
But you know what? Let me start by reading it, and then if need be, you know, we'll take a break and we'll go get the thing. It says the following. Basar, this is the Mechaber, but I really want to focus on the Ramah, but first let's go through the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, again, Sadi Dal Tziv Zayin, if you want to make a note of it, that Basar Roseach Shechotcho Besakin Cholevis. This is such a common case. You have hot meat and you cut it with a Milchka knife.
Right.
Says the Mechaber, Kol achaticha asura im ein bashishim keneged asake. We're talking about a serious blia over here. You know, we're not talking about kedei klipa. Right? You need shishim here.
Amazing.
An amazing halacha here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and says...
But he means keneged is the sake? You mean the whole volume
no,
of sake?
No, that's what we have to know. He says, let's say if this is a picture of the knife,
yeah.
So I don't know exactly, again, there's a handle that you don't have to worry about,
right.
But if let's say he cuts the meat, you know, back and forth, you know, then you'll need it against the whole sock. And if on the other hand, let's say, you know, he's got a long knife and a small piece of meat, so you'll only need shishim against that part of the sock that came in contact with
it. But even if it's the volume of the meat, I mean of the sock, it's not, even though it's only the amount of balea, it was actually garnished. You know.
Well, let's assume. Imagine the following scenario: you've got a relatively small knife, right, and you've got a small piece of meat,
yeah,
Well, I'll give you even a better case. Let's say you have a long knife, and that was the only thing you had available in the kitchen, and it's a milchka knife, and you have a small piece of meat, and you start cutting that meat while it's sizzling hot into small pieces until finally you hit yourself on the head, realizing, wait a minute, this is a milchka knife. He goes on and says that this only applies if it's a ben yomo. So let's clear out all the static here from what we call nosing tam livgam. So it's a ben yomo. And then he goes on and he says that that you need shishim keneged, that part of the knife that came in contact with the meat. And if you don't have shishim, you're going to have to throw out the entire piece of meat.
Why would he say that the keneged, the whole piece of knife, the whole knife? The knife is not basar. The only thing that's asar in it is what was nivla. I mean, the knife itself
but
is a knife.
But we always assume in Kalim that the kli is bole the maximum.
Mm. Yeah, but what, you mean that it's more that this
right.
thing is really.
We don't know how much milk he, how much cheese, let's say, he cut with this knife. But we always assume the maximum, meaning whatever the volume of the kli is, that's what we need shishim against the entire volume of the kli. Okay. But Avosa, I wanted you to focus on a whole different dimension here. What seems to be lacking, missing, in this presentation of the Mechaber? Shouldn't the Mechaber have made a condition, a stipulation? What stipulation would you have added to the Mechaber? When the Mechaber says that if you don't have shishim in the meat against the sack, you got to throw out the piece of meat, everything's awesome.
It is a milchik knife.
Milchik knife, it's ben yomo, the meat is sizzling hot, it's yad sol eretz bo, and you got to throw out the piece of meat. Wouldn't you have added an important comment here? An important qualification? Which he should have mentioned, I think. Where is this meat? Again, imagine the following scenario. You're at a barbecue. Okay, I'm getting hungry already, right? And they take hot sizzling meat off the barbecue, give it to you on a plate, and then you cut it accidentally with a milchka knife. What is that plate?
Klisheni.
We just learned the sugyan chulin that klisheni is edim avashel. And Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos says that, you know why klisheni is edim avashel? Because it doesn't have the same status as a kli rishon, the same koach as a kli rishon, which because kli rishon has dofne a kli are chamamos, right? But here, in other words, if I had the sugya in chul and the tosis in Shabbos, and that's all I know, I'm not an ibn chacham, that's all I have in front of me, I personally would have written a very important qualification in this Mechaber. I would have said, Bamed varma murim bekli rishon. Meaning, imagine if you, again, it's not a barbecue situation now. Now we're talking about a cholent situation, right? So we have a cholent here. If you're all invited to Mishmar tonight, right? And we have a cholent situation. So we take the cholent off the fire, correct? Again, it's hard to imagine this in a cholin, because why would you stick your knife? I mean, you didn't know it was a milchik knife, but even if you didn't know it was a milchik knife, you thought it was a fleishik knife, I'm not sure exactly why you would put the knife inside the cholin pot and start cutting up the meat. But okay, maybe it's a big piece of meat, you want to cut it down. Okay, but I don't think that's your classical, regular, daily situation of cutting a piece of meat. I would think that in most cases you're probably cutting a piece of meat in a klisheni. No? But again, be that as it may, I don't want to argue this point. You'll tell me most people cut meat in a kli rishon. I don't know. So somehow you'll convince me of that. But it's irrelevant. The Mechaber has to cover all his bases. So guess what? Who noticed this is?
The Ramah.
So the Ramah says, Kol zeh, this all applies, bebasar osech, bekli rishon. V'oz im asakin ben yomo v'ein shishim b'bosa k'neged asakin hakol asur. Then he goes on to talk about the sakin and it needs hagola. Aval im abosu b'klisheni is tzorach klipa. All he needs is klipa. So I already said the following. Shishim means if you have something called bishel.
Right.
So that could happen in a kli rishon because a kli rishon is mevasha. But blia. Okay, blia, you can have a mixes blia, shalal yidei bishol, and the chachamim are nervous about that, and that's what we saw in the case of Kavush. So for that, all you need is a klipa. Take out a klipa. That's what the Rabbanan wanted. Because tomorrow you're going to do the same thing with the Kli Rishon. You know, we have to be very careful, and somehow hakarayin and kaparayin that you know you're not about. You know, this is not something that we want you to do, to take a milka knife that's been yom and start cutting up sizzling meat. So you know what? We'll ask you to do it. We'll ask you to take off a klipa. So you get the message here that this is not acceptable. You know, you're not out in the clear. We're going to require klipa. So, but Rabbanu Shalom, we're not going to cry shishim over here. Kli sheni ain't a mavashal. So why do we have to wait for the Ramah to make this qualification? Why didn't the Mechaber think of this? You know, he's not stupid.
I don't have.
Wait, Jeff wants to say one thing on if you don't mind.
So yeah. The knife is milka because there was it was mavashal with.
With hot cholov, ben yom. This happened just a few hours ago, right?
But I don't understand.
You know, this is what I do. You know, I make pizza for myself because I like to use whole wheat. Not every pizza short except that. So what do? I cut up cheese, you know, to make. So usually the cheese is cold, but sometimes I take the pizza out of the oven. Well, let's say, for example, imagine you buy pizza, but it cooled off, and so you put it back in the oven to eat it up. And then you cut it up, and what you're doing is you're taking a milka knife, let's say a paraffin knife, whatever it is, and you make your milkas. Yeah. And within 24 hours, it's a ben yom.
Yeah, it's still unclear as to what the two, there's three factors when you're talking about bishul, say, let's say, basar b'challah. Right. One is there's the challah. Two, there's the flesh, the basar, and there's a kli. Okay? Right. Those are the three elements that are in there.
Right.
What is the knife?
The knife is a kli. The knife has the same status.
The knife is a kli.
Right.
So now we're talking the knife is a kli.
Right. It's like, you remember we discussed on Tuesday, we were talking about a fleshika pot, and you went ahead and you cooked milchix in the fleshika pot.
Right.
And we're wondering if is that Tam Sheni, is it Tam Shlishi? Remember we had a long discussion about that. Be it as it may, the Gemara says that that's osur. And not only that, if you cook meat in a milchika pot, and you don't have shishim in the meat, it's osur d'oraisa under the din of basar b'challah. That's called bishul.
Right.
And if you have a kli rishon, and now you take a knife and you cut sizzling hot meat, and that knife is milchix ben yom, and the meat is hot, then you are, that's exactly the same as cooking meat in a milchix pot or vice versa.
Yeah, so what I don't understand, that's why I wanted to clarify all the points, elements of this first, because what's the difference to me whether there's a kli sheni or not a kli sheni? When you put the meat through the knife through the meat,
right?
The meat and the knife are directly touching each other, and the amount of temperature.
That's bishul.
Yeah, that's right, and that's bishul. That's inside the meat itself. The kli is not going to do anything. Is not going to affect it one way or the other. The kli is on the outside. We're talking about the meat on the inside. So it's not. So
I hear
it's a direct thing.
I hear what you're saying, but leave that on the side for a minute, just to get the concept of the Ramah, because you know the Ramah is big stuff, especially for Ashkenazi. The Ramah is saying that when there is a process of bishul that is generated by this hot piece of meat, correct?
Right.
And as a result, there is milk going into the meat, milk from the knife going into the meat.
And vice versa.
The Ramah says that Bamet V'Amun is a precondition. When does that meat have the power to generate bishul? Only if that meat is a kli rishon. Meat in a kli rishon is mevashel. But if you take that meat and remove it from its original kli, and put it into a second kli, that meat doesn't have the possibility of being mevashel. Again, this is not something that you and I would come up logically, because at the end of the day, the meat is still sizzling hot, it's yatsa lettuce bowl, whether it's in a kli rishon or kli sheni. But says the Ramah, we have a principle, as we saw in the Gemara in Kufta Aleph Beis, that kli sheni ain't a mevashel. If kli sheni ain't a mevashel, then you cannot give the status of bishul to this meat that's in a kli sheni. Meat in a kli sheni is not mevashel. Let's say I have a pot, and it's cooking and it's heating and it's mamish boiling and everything, the vapors are coming out. Now I take that pot and all its contents, I pour it into a second pot. Even though the contents of the pot are boiling hot, and therefore if let's say the contents are flaming, and now I put milchiks into it, you and I would say that that's the same bishul as if I had put the milchiks directly into the kli rishon. The answer is no. The contents of that pot cannot achieve bishul
by definition because
they're a kli sheni. So the Rambam takes that abstract definition, that distinction between kli rishon and kli sheni, and applies to this piece of meat. This piece of meat could no way engender bishul. Narvas, even if it can't engender bishul, it does have a certain element of bliya, plata and bliya. Why? Because it's yad saletisva. Says the Rambam, whenever you reduce your level from a doraisa of basu v'chol down to the Rabbanon, so all you need is kedei klipa. The Rabbanon wants you to take off the kedei klipa. But, you know, to say that you need shishim, that's totally unacceptable from the Rambam's perspective. Now, you and I have to decide for ourselves, each one will make their own decision here, whether you believe that the Mechaber understood what the Rambam was saying. I find it a little bit unconvincing, because why didn't the Mechaber think of adding this comment? I don't know. That's something that you may want to think about that. But we're going to take the Rambam at face value, and what we're going to say is that the Rambam holds that really Kedei Klipa is just a chumra here, and klisheni ain't a mevashel, period. The problem is going to be, Rav Hosai, that in this case, there's no difference between the kli rishon and the klisheni as far as dofnei akli is concerned. Why? Because we're talking about a dover gush. We're talking about a sizzling solid piece of solid food, a piece of meat.
Why is it solid? And it doesn't necessarily touch the...
Yeah, it doesn't touch the walls of the kli.
Yeah, but that's why
you got a piece of meat that's sitting on a pan or on a grill or whatever it is. But it's not. It's, in other words, if Tosis is going to apply his rule that the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni has nothing to do with yad saletisva, they both, I grant you, have yad saletisva. Narvaz, in one case the process is going that direction, in one case the other direction, because of the impact of the walls, the dofnei hakedera on the bishul, on the foodstuff that's within, then it's hard for me to believe that in a dover gush, in something that's solid, the logic of Tosis applies over here. In other words, when the Rambam makes this distinction between a kli rishon, kli sheni, but when this whole problem of a sakin apply, it's only in a kli rishon, but not in a kli sheni, all you need is klipa, that distinction, according to Tosis, is very tenuous. Because I would not say that in the case of a dover gush that you plop down in the middle of a kli, that this distinction of dofnei akli should apply, whether it's dofnei akli mechamos, dofnei akli mekaros. And that's what this taz is about. So at this point, Rav Hosai, I'm going to have to ask you to make sure that you have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you. Because for me to read this gigantic taz, bal peh, now, if I have to, I'll photocopy, but there should be plenty of Shulchan Aruch. I want to show you where you can find the Friedman one, because that's the best thing.
There you go.
Take a look on that table over there, if you can. And either you'll share one, or maybe we can...
Can I ask you something?
Yes, please.
Radical, meanwhile, while you're doing this. Okay? What makes you think that the plate that it's sitting on, or the second pot, is what he's talking about, a kli sheni? Because what are the two elements here? There's the chalav, which is balua.
What we talk about, the mechaber or the ramo? The mechaber. Yeah. The mechaber makes no distinction between kli rishon and kli sheni.
No, but the reason why he doesn't.
No. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it is. Yeah, you're right. I never saw this one. Yeah, because this is not Friedman. Okay, we'll manage.
This
is not a Friedman, but it doesn't matter. This is good enough.
Okay.
We'll manage. Just if you can, my pagination is not going to help you, but take a look in Simon Tzadi Dalid, Sif Zion. Yeah.
Now, my question is the following. The kli that it really is involved in this thing is the knife. The cholav is what's balua in the knife. The meat is outside the knife.
Right.
The connection between the chalav and the meat is through the knife. The knife is the kli.
But what agent is taking the tam chalav and removing it and being maflet it from the knife?
Do
you follow my question?
That's
the knife might even be cold.
It's the hot meat.
It's the hot meat.
Right.
So the question is, is that hot meat capable of A, which is a lower level, or even B? A is to be maflit to tam,
yeah,
and therefore be bolea, or B, it's capable of bishul.
I agree, but the point
and
is...
Now, kavita is going to be whether you need shishim or klipa.
I hear you, but the problem is, what if I'm cutting the meat in the air? I'm holding it in my hand, and I'm probably cutting it in the air. I'm not putting it into a kli at all.
So that would depend, Alan, on our two definitions of tosis. Does tosis need the makaros in order to make it into a kli sheni, or does he need the machamos to make it into a kli rishon?
And it does need.
So your case in which the meat is floating in midair would be dependent on two understandings of tosis. And you could read over the tosis and Shabbos over and over again, and you'll still end up perplexed because tosis doesn't give you a clear
insight. But maybe what would the difference?
But here we're talking about a case of a dover gush on a plate. He's not, you know,
but
he's not
knife,
cutting it in the
air. Is
the
knife hot or is the knife cold?
The knife is cold.
Okay.
Let's assume. Yeah.
If your knife is cold, then
it's
knife...
getting hot. You know?
All right. Yeah. But right. But the fact that the knife is cold automatically means that as it cuts, it's cooling down the meat.
Okay, that's an interesting question. I don't know if we can answer all those questions. I'm just trying to focus on.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking that that is the cliche.
The Rambam is wondering whether or not at some point the heat, the sizzling hot meat, can somehow be mafled the tam of the cholov that's balua in the socket. And therefore, that haflota causes a blia of cholov into
the meat. Yeah.
And that's considered bishul to the point at which we need shishim, as I state in the Mechaber.
Right.
The Rambam qualifies that, and he says that's because the fire was underneath this piece of meat. Like we said, the poo-poo platter before.
Yeah. Right.
That was the kli rishon, and that's the ilfus b'kli rishon that we saw in Chulin on Daf Kuf Dalim.
Right.
But, says Rambam, if the moment I take this piece of meat out of its original home and I relocate it on a kli sheni, forget it. There's no bishul. You could talk about a chumra d'rabbanan of klipa because of the blia, that the sizzling piece of meat, but it's not 100% bishul.
Okay.
The question I want to ask you today is, does everybody agree with this Rambam? And that's what I think the Taz is addressing.
Okay.
Now, you should have a Taz that starts with the words v'chol zeh b'basar oseach. Do you have such a Taz?
Where are we?
So it should be number Yudalit in Simon Sadi Dalit.
Sadi Dalit.
This is Sadi Dalit.
This is
Sadi
Dalit.
Yeah. And this is Zion.
If you can all turn.
You want Zion.
No. The Ramah is in Sif Zion.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But which is...
But we want to look in the Taz Sifkat Yudalit, which is right on the same page as the Ramah. There's also, I don't know if we'll get to this today, there's also a shach on this topic. The shach is in Simon Kuf Hei. I just want to open up the shach, because maybe the shach is a little bit easier to do than the Taz.
There's no Taz on that page. Where's the Taz? There's no Taz here.
Well, what do you have in front of you? Maybe you have just the tour.
Oh, it is the tour.
Oh, it's the tour. That's the problem. If you're looking at the tour, you'll get the Beis Yosef
and the Bach.
You won't
that's
get
right.
the Taz.
Yeah.
Just 1 second. I just want to see if I can find... The Shach might have a... Might be a shortcut here. Just let me see. Kuf Hei. And the Shach, I think, is in Hei. Let me just see if I'm right. Das Marshal. That's what we want to get to is this Das Marshal. I'll just read it to you quickly and Jeff will join us in just a second. The Dover Gush, etc. The marin cham min a kedera, so you take out this dover gush from the original kedera. In my yad, so let us vote din only olam ke kli rishon.
Okay,
is that amazing? Okay, then. So again, the shach is going to quote the marshal, who's the author of the Polisim Heter, and he's going to say that a kli sheni in the case of a dover gush is mevashel. Let me read it to you one more time. He says, "Das Marshal Bisuve Hetishalo, the Dover Gush, Kagav Petit Hesbosser, etc., etc., Shema Aaron also mina kedera. So it's again, you've taken it out of the kedera. In my yad, so let us vote dino liolam kikli rishon. Now I thought.
Well, that's not because of the klisheni. It's because the fact that it's a dover gush, it's not touching the klisheni.
Right. So
because
it's still that, so the
klisheni doesn't affect it. So it's just
so
like
in
it's
other
a klisheni.
This marshal really reflects our analysis of Tosus.
It's a reclaim.
I think the Tosus would give Yashar Koach to the marshal. That's my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. Meaning, if we look at the Gemara Chulin, we get the impression it's either Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Geendik. You know, finito. Right. There's nothing to talk about. End of story.
Right.
But when we look at Tosus, Tosus say no. There's no fundamental difference between a Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Kli Sheni should be Mavash, and a Kli Rishon maybe not Mavash. It all depends on the relationship of the Dofnei Akli. And I think that's what the Marshal is saying. I want to see if the Taz says it the same way, that in this case, even though you took it out of its original Kli where it was cooking, but nevertheless, you're putting it on a plate, there's no such thing as Dofnei Akli Makaros in the second plate, and therefore it still has the status of a Kli Rishon.
Right.
So it could be that this Marshal is not only the sheet of Tosus, but maybe that's the sheet of the Mechaber. Because again, the Mechaber didn't qualify.
It doesn't make a difference.
He didn't tell us where this piece of meat is. And yet he requires Shishim. So if you take a look at the Taz, so I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
Okay. No, we're okay.
Yeah, do we have the Taz? Taz.
No,
right?
Yeah.
And it should say Yudalit, Taz Yudalit. Oh, you have the Friedman.
Yeah.
Good. So it should say Kufmen Beis on top.
Kufmen
Beis. Here it is. Taz Yudalit. You have a Taz? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have it underlined.
It's not mine.
No.
Okay.
But he probably heard your shear and he underlined it.
Well, I didn't give the shear. Maybe I'll give it, but in any event. Just make sure you see the Ramah Aval. Do you see the Ramah Aval Im?
Yeah.
Aval Imu B'Kli Sheni. Do you see that?
We got it right here. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So he says, Ha'basitzar Klipa. Means you don't need Shisha. Right? Says the Taz, B'Toras Chatos. Now the Toras Chatos was authored by who?
Toras Chatos? I don't know.
By the Ramah.
Oh, yeah.
So that when you really want to understand the Ramah, you know, in depth, you want to go to his more comprehensive work. You know, this is just little tidbits.
His Haggadahs.
Because he unfortunately got cut out from. He had a Shulchan Aruch of his own,
right.
But the Mechaber, maybe he won the day for. I'm sure it's Min HaShamayim, but. So the Ramah wrote what's called the Mapa.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, it's like the tablecloth for the Shulchan. Right. But his real work is, especially in Issa Beheter, is the Toras Chatos. So that's a good way of analyzing this. He says, "B'toras chatos kosav gam kein hachi." So if you want to find the original, he says, go back to the Toras chatos. That's the Taz.
Okay.
Utmini. I'm not sure I understand this Ramah, says the Taz. Sharav Ramah rogil lahavi ha'iser veheta ha'orof b'chol ha'makobos. The Ramah is very much, you know, Gitrai, you know, he's loyal to the Issa Veheter. V'kan lo hevi dvarav, v'meshikosu v'klal amidvav. In other words, the Issa Veheter, which is authored by the Marshal, is going to be machmer even in a klisheni. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare that the Ramah would, in the Mapa, so maybe there were those who disagreed with the Marshal with Issa Veheter. Fine, he chose to be mekil in a klisheni, but in the Toras Chatos, he should have at least quoted the Issa Veheter as he always does. He's like almost oblivious, or maybe deliberately oblivious to the Issa Veheter. What does the Issa Veheter say? Okay, this is important. Because we saw the Shachin Kufay quotes the Marshal, right. But now we're seeing the original language of the Marshal quoted here in the Taz. So it's a four lines down from the top. Imchatach, it should say. Imchatach, around here somewhere.
Yeah, read.
Got it.
Imchatach basar roseach.
Right.
Shayad sol lettuce po, bisakin shel cholov, shuben yomo, mitash mishroseach. Yeah, because keep in mind, the sakin to be a problem, you have to have two conditions. Number one, it came in contact with milk in the last 24 hours. Right. And not only that, but it came in contact with hot milk.
Right.
Because it's not hot milk, it's tzonin.
Right.
It just rinses it off.
Right.
He says the following: Agav duchke de sakina, bola bekulo, v'tzorach shishin kineged kol halahav. The Marshal says the following: that you have a combination of two factors over here. It's not just the hot sizzling piece of meat, which you might solve that problem because it's in a cliche and you tell me don't get nervous about it. But you have an additional goring here that creates isur, and that is what's called duchka de sakina. Remember we discussed this? Mm. If you cut a dover charif with duchka de sakina, then it's bolea. He says, v'lo dami le cliche. This is not a case that's comparable to a cliche. The bedover yovesh. Now I would say I don't know why he doesn't add the word viod over here. You know, he's driving us a point. He's saying this is not your classical case of a cliche. First of all, in this case, he's cutting the meat with a milchka knife. That's called duchka de sakina. That causes a certain serious kind of bleed.
Right.
Number two, it's not like your classical case of cliche for another reason. Because it's yavesh, it's a solid substance. The lekod finos hamakaros. That's what you you can't underline, it's not yours, but yeah, in theory, if it was yours, I would force you to underline.
It's underlined.
Oh, it is underlined. Okay. Let me read it again. The bedover yavesh, unlike your classical case of a cliche, where the walls of the kli says tosis hamakaros, here, lekod finos hamakaros.
Assuming it isn't smack up against the walls.
Right. Well, we're talking about a flat pan. Meat is on a flat pan.
You mean there's no... There are no
walls. There are no walls to see or to talk about.
Right.
This is not an ear mukefes choma. This is an ear... This is what we call the prosim as opposed to mukafim.
But what about...
Since it's adar, we can...
What about the bottom of the whatever
it's... Oh, that's an interesting question. Maybe the bottom itself could be makarir. I don't know. But I don't know if the bottom, you know, when they talk about Dofna Kli, they're talking about the walls of the Kli, not the floor of the Kli.
I don't know what difference.
In any event, he's saying, Lo Domi Le Kli Shein, he says, Isa Veheter. In other words, he's almost arguing with the Ramah and saying the Ramah is making a distinction here. If it was a Kli Shein, that's not a fair distinction. Why? Because what defines a Kli Shein is Defanos Makaros, but here we don't have Defanos Makaros. Again, this assumes that when Tosis makes the distinction between Rishon Klisheni, he means to say that it becomes a Klisheni when it's Dofnei HaKli Makaros.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would have said that maybe Tosis means something else, that you need Dofnei HaKli Chamos. You know, here there are no Defanos, you know, like your case where he cuts the knife in midair. There are no Defanos one way or the other, so I don't know how to define that. But let's assume, for the argument's sake, we'll give the Marshal the benefit of the doubt, that in order to establish a klisheni, in a case of Yatzal, I suppose what you need is that there are dofnei akli makaros, that the process is a cooling process. It's kind of like Eloi Govar, you know, if you have if you have something hot going into something cold, then the cold is already cooling off the hot. I mean, it's also true that the hot is heating up the cold, but the primary tahalich, you know, the process that's going on is a cooling process. Here too, it's a cooling process. And why is that? Because the kli is a kli shein. But that's not true in this case, because here there's no dofnei akli makaros.
Right.
He says, Mia kolz ma sheyatzal letespo. I have to add the following stipulation. We have to assume that this hot piece of meat is still Yad Soledespo. If it's not Yad Soledespo, there's nothing to talk about. V'im ein shishim ha-basar, im ein shishim, ha-basar asa afil b'hana. That's when they want to tell you it's a daraisa. Because you remember we had a long discussion about basar of b'cholav?
Right.
And then we said chicken and milk is only darban, and therefore it's mutar b'hana. Right. Here he's telling you it's asa b'hana.
Right, of course.
Oh, so then what is kli sheni? Kli sheni, ika dofnei hakli shemitzananos oso kol shah. So in a kli sheni, when you took stuff out of the kli rishon and poured it into kli sheni, they were saying that the dofnei hakli are busy being makarer, being mitzanin. I'm supposed to have to take just a 2 minute break.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Is it okay?
Of course.
Do we have another 5-10 minutes?
Okay. Not a problem.
So again, the Taz says, "Well, Domi l'klisheni d'bedover yavesh lekud fanas amakaros, and therefore mevashel." In other words, as long as it's yad tzol, it's bo, it's creating bishul, even in a klisheni, because there's no dofne akli makaros. V'im ein shishim.
Again,
Abasa also afil b'hanna. Okay, this is the last thing we did together.
Right.
Because that afil b'hanna indicates that we're dealing with a full-fledged bishul d'oraisa of basa b'cholov, and therefore it engenders not only an isra achil but isra hanna. Because if you remember, we spoke about feeding,
right,
you know, chicken with milk to my dog. That I'm allowed to do, even though I cooked the chicken and the milk and the oaf together, because basa oaf b'cholov is mutter. Midorais, it's only also
right.
The Rabbanan, that's only b'achila, not b'hanno. Here we talk about isra b'hanno.
Right.
Ube klisheni, as opposed to a klisheni, ika dofne a klisha mitzanos osa kol shah. When you put something in a klisheni and it's a cold klisheni, what's happening is it's cooling off the food. Meaning, in terms of process, it may take a while, but it's prop. The afagav the einkan gam dofne kli rishon shemachzik bo achamius. Oh, he's asking our question. Maybe in order to establish a kli rishon and bishul, you need dofne akli machamamos that we don't have. Now we're floating in the air. He says mikomako mivla miabola. Okay, that last sentence has to be understood. The Isser v'heter says that there's still a blia. Again, I don't know. I don't know if that really covers all his bases, because just to say it's a blia, that's not enough. You need bishul, and bishul requires a kli rishon, which means that the dofne akli machamamos. And here we don't have that element of dofne akli machamamos. I'd be tempted to say that mikomako mivla, in answering his question, means that you don't have dofne akli mitzananos, like he said before. Let's just see the Taz's summary of everything that so we can come to some end here. He says, Hare lefanenu, the gam imunach habosa roseach al ha
teller, yeah, plate.
A plate. Machmir bo lesar gam habosar. Everything becomes awesome. Not just the sakin, but the meat itself. And why is that? Kolz man shu roseach harbe, as long as it's maintaining its heat, shebom in akriyus, the heat that it received from a kli rishon, kach heim divrei marshal. You'll see it also in his Yam Shel Shlomo, not just in Nisa v'heter. Sima mimdal zel shom lo shayach kli sheni el b'mayim v'rotev dover hatzol. The whole concept of klisheni in Hilchus Bosim Cholov only applies to lach, to a mayim. Why? Because shemis arev miyad v'niskarim v'mehera. Right? You have dofne akli makaros. Aval lo b'chatichas bosa, solid or dag v'chol dovashu gush, anything that's solid called zman sheyad sol lettuce. But omed b'chami musa, there's nothing to cool it off. Umaflit umavliya shapir. Umishim hochi nireh. This is already something else.
So what he's saying, basically, is he's saying the basar is its own kli. What it is the outside of the basar, like the defanos of a kli, right, and they are holding in the chamimus in the inside of the basar, in the middle part of the basar,
right,
which that makes
it into a kli rishon.
That's right.
But if, excuse me, you remove it from the kli, and it's dofne hakli makaros, then it's a cliche.
Yes.
What about the case where you take a sizzling piece of meat and you just plop it on the table? Or plop it on a...
Yeah, but that's what he's saying. He's saying...
That's still a kli rishon, because you don't have dofne hakli makaros.
Yeah, but you have the dofne, the basar, so to speak.
The basar itself is enough.
Right.
So on this machaber in the Shulchan Aruch, I looked up the Bari HaShulchan.
Okay.
And the Bari HaShulchan writes, let me just make sure I have the right page opened. One second. Oh, here it is. This was what I did in the previous year. I don't know why, Alan, you didn't join me for the previous year. Like, you stuck your head in and then you disappeared.
I thought you were finishing in 5 minutes. I didn't want to interrupt.
Listen,
you.
Alan, I tell this to all my students. You're not my student, but I'm telling you as if you're my student.
No, I am.
Come in for the last minute, even. Sometimes you can get the whole shear in 1 minute. I'm not joking.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I mean, very serious.
But it wasn't worth interrupting you to do that. So
don't worry about interrupting me. Really,
that's why I didn't do it.
We had a wonderful discussion about cheese making. I'm sure you would have been fascinated about the sugya of keva. Okay, maybe you'll hear it online. You know, yeah, if I get a chance to put it up online. So he says the following. Let me just get the place here. I had it before, but this is not my copy. That's why I don't make underlines on it. One second.
You should be able to. Zachar Adam Shalom
Bafana. Yeah, maybe. One second. There's the following. He says, Mevur das harama, it's clear what the opinion of the Rama is. The machal anita beklisheni, eno maflid umavlia, kimo machal hanus hanatun, which is placed in a kli rishon, which is in a kli rishon. Yesh omnam shecholkim al zeh, v'sovrim da'abosar nesar kulo im ein bo shishim k'neged asakin afilu imhu nosin b'kli sheni u'betaimam shalamachmirim nemru gimel shitos.
Okay.
There are three different ways of explaining why that whole school of thought of poskim disagree with the Rama. Aleph, the gam chom shal kli sheni afol pisha eno mevashel mikomako mavlia umaflit shapir.
Okay.
Now I don't know if we're talking about a doraisa, because I think what he's saying is that we're talking about something like kovush kirot seach.
Okay.
I don't think that we should identify this with the marshal that we just saw, because marshal says it's also about no. Mm-hmm. So he tells you to look in Reish Beis. Oh, chsamso, good. I'm calm. Because if he would have written the Marshal, I would have gotten very nervous, because he's saying it's Mavlia Umafli, but it's not Mavashal. If that be the case, it couldn't be Osir Banoah. Fine. Beis, Shita Beis. The Afal Gav de Chom Shel Klisheni Eno Mavlia Umaflit.
He just said he was. But in case.
Again, it's the second sheet.
In case you hold it.
We'll see who it is. It's, okay, we'll see in a minute. But again, even if you'll tell me that Kli Sheni is not Mavlio Maflid.
Yeah.
Hani Mili, he says, Kshemunach Bo Dover Nozel, Kigon Mayim Verotev. And I would add another comment here, because then we have Dofne Hakli Metzananos, Amal Dover Gush. Kmo bosa v'chadoma lezeh havile kikli rishon afal pisha nitan b'kli sheni v'atam ki dover hanozel miskar al yidei shenogea b'dafnos hakli hasheni aval dover gush einen ogea b'dafnos hakli shemisaviv v'nishar koach hamimuso afal pi shegam chom hadfano shel kli rishon ein lo, when he doesn't have the positive chim of kli rishon, but he doesn't have the negative makaros of a kli sheni. V'umaflid u'mavli ashapir. So that's number reish gimel. No, in the Shara Tzion, you know, he structured this sefer like the Mishnah Berurah. So you have the Shara Tzion, Isa v'hetem arshal, huva v'tatz. Perfect. What's the third shita? Then he writes, Yeshe kosvu shalafitam ze b'mikrash abosa nita b'klisheni b'yachad im rotev. Ah, interesting. He wants to know, according to the Marshal, what if the klisheni is not, what if the meat is not just alone,
it's sitting in rotev,
in the klisheni, but it's sitting in rotev. See, now they have the liquid element. He says habosa dino ki klisheni. Why? Because kavan, that the rotev again is the hadfanos no goes, they have direct contact with the rotev, that itself is already makarer everything that's inside the kli, not only the rotet, but I guess also the basa. Shita gimel. That's what I wanted to get to. Shafilu neima di af dover gush dino ki kli sheni hani mili below duchke de sakina. When do we say that kli sheni is not mevashel? That's because we don't have the additional element or variable of what duchke de sakina. But b'hach dino, in this din that we're dealing about now, tika nami duchke de sakina is dino ki kli rishon. Even though normally without duchke de sakina is doch ulenian dino. Oh, so the nafkamina, let me try to guess, is going to be if you take a spoon. Let's say I take a milchika spoon and I cut, you know, I cut, or I don't want to use the word cut because that's already like a knife, yeah, right, but I scrape out,
I separate
some of the meat, right? And the meat is sizzling hot in a klisheni. If I go with the first, the first two shitos of the Chassam Sofer and the Marshal, that there's no status of a kli sheni here because there's no dofne kli, etc., etc., then it should apply to a spoon as well. Right. But if I go with the third shita, who he identifies as the shita of the Prima Gadim, that requires a lot of research, then if it's only a spoon and it doesn't have duch and sakina, then this whole chumra wouldn't apply. He says, "Haloch lemaisi yesh lahachmir bazeles or kolach haticha bein bashishim, avu behefsei meruba kosav yarcha shulchan sheyesh lahakil kedas harama." Chochmas Adam, that's if I'm dancing, kosav lahachmir ze afil b'makom hefsei meruba. Could you imagine that would be machmir against the Rama, against the Rama, even behefsei meruba? It means that the bulk of the poskim are opposed to this Ramah for one of three possible reasons. Either because, as we said in the name of the Chassam Sofer, even though it's a klisheni, but still, if it's Yad Sol Lettuce Bow, it's Maflit Umavlia. Or according to the Marshal, because klisheni and Mavashal applies to a liquid where there's Dofnea Klimakaros, but not to a solid. Or according to Prima Gadin, because he cut it with a knife, and that's called Duchid Sakina. So I don't know, if you ask me, I would say, I have to see the Chochmas Adam inside, because this is just a secondary source, then maybe the Chochmas Adam takes such a strong stand in the case where he cuts it with a knife, because then he also has the Prima Gadim to worry about. Maybe if he cuts it with a different utensil, and you don't have Duchid Sakina, perhaps we can rely on the other Shitas.
But is Duchid Sakina?
We can rely on the Prima Gadim together with the Ramah. You follow what I mean? If both the Ramah and the Prima Gadim would be Mekil, maybe at least perhaps in Meruba we could be Mekil.
But is Duchid Sakina Diaraisa? Is that affect the Diaraisa or only Diaraisa?
I have to learn the Sugya of Dover Charif. We discussed this, but I don't remember the final conclusion.
I think
there were two ways of learning it. It might depend upon,
because it's not Derech Bishul Duchid Sakina.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It should be at least in Basar B'Cholav.
It should be Durabonin.
Yeah, okay. I have to go over this because I think Davar Chariv might be a Doraisa. I don't know. You know what? I have to review this. I don't know. Okay, Rabosai. So let's stop here. And if you enjoy this, maybe we continue
good.
This next week.
Sure.
Okay, good. We didn't finish Not Bar Not, but...
I'm not going to be here next week
at all. Oh, I see.
Are you going to America? Or?
No. I'm volunteering in the Army.
Great, excellent. Yeah, okay, we need guys like you, tough guys like you. I mean, you're gonna protect the country.
That's right. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do. They tell you when you get there.
They tell you when you get there.